Washington Fish and Wildlife Officer Eric Olson trained to become a game warden, but his job has also turned him into a seafood connoisseur.
Yeah, see that spot pattern?
Uh-huh.
See how it's just one after another? See that? It's just...
Like a corn?
Yeah, that is not...
On a recent morning, Olson drops in unannounced at the seafood counters of half a dozen stores and markets in Seattle.
Hi.
He's on the lookout for misbranded fish, which he can sometimes spot with the naked eye. Other times, it takes a lot more sleuthing.
It's kind of hard when it doesn't have the head on it and everything else.
Funny business on the label is also a tip-off. At an Asian market, the manager gets a gentle scolding for omissions.
Yeah, I know that it's probably farm-raised, okay, Atlantic salmon, but you need to actually say that on there, okay?
So say on the label, you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, on the label that actually, so the consumer can make an informed decision.
Olson could write a ticket, but the contrite manager gets off with a verbal warning. The officer saves his ire for bigger fish, you might say.
Quite honestly, all this stuff is always about the money. Always about the bottom line.
The ill-gotten profit comes from misbranding farmed salmon as more expensive wild-caught, or swapping among species, say, sockeye for king, or a switcheroo like cheap imported Greenland turbot for Pacific halibut. Those are all examples of rip-offs that state or federal agents have busted in this region.
Can you get the manager for me?
Olson figures about 15% of seafood in the marketplace is masquerading as something other than what it actually is. His is in the middle range of various estimates. For the past 3 years, a University of Washington Tacoma environmental scientist has assigned students to run DNA tests on salmon sold at retail and in South Puget Sound restaurants. Professor Erica Klein says more than a third, 38% of the restaurant samples came back as a different species than what the menu said.
So that was the really high shocker.
By contrast, Klein says the vast majority of tested grocery stores were honest.
You know, there could be a number of things going on there. I think grocery stores probably are mostly larger chains and are pretty heavily scrutinized.
Klein says once a fillet is cooked and sauced in a restaurant, it's hard to prove fraud without a DNA test. Klein says when she dines out, she asks about where the fish came from. If she gets a dodgy answer, she orders something else. In Washington State, the deputy chief of the Fish and Wildlife Police is looking for a legislator who will champion higher penalties. Mike Sensi says seafood mislabeling is currently a misdemeanor with a maximum $200 fine for the first offense.
If you're at a retail level and you've got a mislabeled package or two, that might be enough deterrent. But if you're dealing in tens of thousands of dollars in seafood products, major fraud involved there, that would more than be the cost of doing business. That's not a disincentive to discontinue that kind of practice or fraud.
The feds will sometimes throw the book at big-time bait and switchers. Sensi separately has to stave off budget cuts to the few cops on this beat. In Salem, a state police lieutenant says Oregon Fish and Wildlife troopers have the authority, but rarely the time, to conduct inspections for misbranding. Earlier this year, a report from the conservation group Oceana called the national enforcement effort against fish fraud virtually non-existent. I'm Tom Bonsi in Seattle.